time and for this day. We thank you for the pray that you would open our hearts and minds to hear you speaking into each of our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning. How are you? You might have noticed me up there a minute ago. Actually, during praise and worship, I was writing my sermon. Almost done. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But I had an idea as we were going through that. Because beforehand, Father asked me what I was going to preach on. He wanted to hear what Isaiah meant. So that passage from Isaiah. Well, it's about Jesus.
Oh,
it's about life being hard. But Jesus conquers all of that. So there you go. Hey, who's clapping now? All right. Well, so no, we're going to do a little Bible study in two places, Luke chapter 13 and in Hebrews chapter 12. So if you want to put, you know, markers there, you can do that for sure. From Luke 13, 24, he said, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. This is also has a parallel passage in Matthew 7, 13, which you may know is a little bit more familiar. And it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction. That's the one I always think of a little bit more. It says, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You know, in these passages, this teaching of Jesus, to me, it brings up questions. I mean, why is the gate narrow? Why is the door narrow? You know, why is it difficult? Why is it that few find it? Because that's what he's saying right there. I mean, why not make it wide and easy? Because we want everybody to know the love of God. That's the big thing that this brings up to me, you know. The answer is found in many places in the New Testament, but today it's found in our Hebrews passage in chapter 12. And you heard it. You just heard it read. That wonderful introduction that we love about the great cloud of witnesses, you know, and how Jesus has died for our sins. Then the discussion of discipline. And then we hear this at the very end, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Okay. You know, these all seem like very kind of cut and dry, very black and white sort of absolute statements in a way that are difficult, that might seem a little different than, again, what you often hear us preach. To not be able, difficult is the way. Few find it. I don't like that. You know, I don't like that. Sorry, boy. We talk about a lot, especially here, about God's love and his forgiveness, about how infinite his capacity is for that love and forgiveness, and how all of us, God included, we want everyone to be able to come into the kingdom. But this is telling us that the reality is that few will find it. That's one of those hard sayings of Jesus, I guess you could say, one of the hard teachings. So again, these teachings that you're hearing seem a little difficult, a little different, you know, than what you might hear. Father said that they were easy ones that I got. I don't think that's particularly easy. But like I said, us, we, and God, we want everybody to know his love. It's just not that easy. That's the reality of it. So what about this door? You know, this door that he's talking about. The door is narrow. Why is the door narrow? Well, according to Hebrews right there, the door is narrow because it requires holiness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord, the author to Hebrews says. He says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Well, holiness. What do we say about holiness? Holiness is hard to come by. You can't go to Ingles and buy it. You can't order it from Amazon. You know, I mean, you can't wear certain clothes and make yourself holy, although people try. I mean, look at me. Yeah, I'm wearing this so that you'll think I'm holy. If you believe that, then I have some land I can sell you. Beachfront land in Arizona, right? Your clothing, your appearance can't make you holy. Ask the Pharisees. They found out. Ask them how it worked out for them. See, we can't get holy from studying and writing papers. We can read. People have read the entire Bible and not become holy. You can become a Bible scholar and not become holy. And that's because holiness only comes from Jesus and a relationship with him. We can put on the appearance of holiness all we want. But being holy and being set apart, which is what it means, being set apart from the world, requires a greater authority than any of us have. A greater authority than we have. This is one of the reasons why that is difficult, right? You see, even when Jesus sets us apart from the world, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he makes us holy. But it's not our holiness, it's his. We put on his holiness. You know, one of those great revelations that you've heard us talk about and share, and Bishop Jones has shared himself, is that, you know, because we are in Jesus, then we already have received every blessing and every grace and every gift that we'll ever need in our whole lives. We just have to realize it, and we just have to appropriate it, okay? He's already given it all to us. We don't have to ask for more. We just have to ask, Lord, show me what I have. And that means that we have all the holiness that we need to pass through the narrow door. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. There's no working toward it, okay? See, when you hear that, it sounds like we have to work hard to get to God. That's not right. There's no working toward it. It is difficult, however, for many people to enter, because you have to accept Jesus as your Lord. You have to accept Jesus as God. And you and I know that there are many people who will not do that. That's why it's narrow. You must accept Jesus as God incarnate. But for those who know him and desire him, door is wide open. Wide open. I mean, wide open. So we gotta be holy. The only way to be holy is through Jesus and receiving him as our Lord and Savior. The other thing about that is that, and this relates to what Hebrews was talking about there, holiness doesn't include sin. That word. Holiness means being set apart. Well, being set apart from what? Well, from sin, the world, sin. If we back up a little bit, Hebrews 12:12, he says, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame will not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Make straight paths for your feet, he says. Now, this is a quote or a parallel from Proverbs 4:26, which says, watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. If we expand on that a little bit, in Proverbs 4:25, he says, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Oh, okay. Turn your foot from evil. If you stay on the straight and narrow, that old term that we've heard, that's where this comes from, you will not turn aside into sin. Okay? That's the idea. Turn your foot from evil. Keep straight on the path that Jesus has laid out for you. Turn from evil. Okay, avoid sin. All right? That sin thing, you know? Got to keep coming up sometimes. Keeps cropping up. And we still have to deal with it. You have been cleansed from sin. You accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're not a sinner, but you may still sin. You know that. I mean, you know, I'm not going to ask you to raise hands if you're not. But you might still sin. Well, you know what? Stop it. That's the short answer. Just stop it. Stop doing it. You see, God is incredibly loving of forgiveness. And for those of us who already know him, if we keep on sinning, and especially sinning the same thing over and over again, even if we ask for forgiveness each time, which he gives us, we are testing his grace. That might not be a good place to be in. I don't want to test his grace. I have already received his forgiveness. So those little things that somehow seem to keep cropping up, we've got to progress and work a little harder on those. Some might call that going through another narrow door. And this is why that passage of Hebrews that we just talked about has this thing in it about discipline. We don't talk about discipline. That's what the author's describing, you know. And you see, repeated sin in his believers invites God's discipline. So I don't particularly want to do that. He says, watch the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. Make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame will not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Healed. He's not talking about you healing other people. He's talking about you being healed from sin. Believers, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. That discipline, sometimes things that we call life, the tough times, tribulations that we go through, and true times where he corrects us, because they aren't all from him, can make our hands hang down instead of lifted in praise, our knees weak, just falling down. I'm so tired. We're holy people, and he's called us not to sin. He knows that we fail from time to time, and he's okay with that. But he expects us to keep going through the narrow doors in our lives, to go through the next one that seems hard on the outside because it's something you have trouble getting rid of, but yet leads you deeper and deeper into his heart. So we get tired. Our knees falter. Our hands hang limp down. You know, the worship is great, but man, it's like I can't do it. You see, in those tough times, and again, they aren't all from God's discipline, you understand, because you did something wrong. Something goes wrong with you. It's not because you did something wrong necessarily, but occasionally it can be. In any tough time that you go through, when you're beaten down, when you're discouraged, when you're exhausted, the thing to do is return to your place of worship. Your place of worship. Lift your hands to heaven. Don't let them hang down limp. Stand or kneel before him in worship. It's an integral part of holiness. Okay? But holiness, we've got to get rid of sin. We've got to worship. Because worship is central and it drives away the enemy, doesn't it? It's necessary for us as believers to worship him, whether in song or in praise and adoration, meditation, in just love. We need it. We do it for him, but we need it. You see, remember, all who call on the Lord Jesus have everything Jesus has. Just mention that. Because we're heirs, because we're children. We're not hired, helpers. And that includes this holiness that we're talking about and the ability to rise above sin. We are holy. Oh, and by the way, that great cloud of witnesses, some people think that they're all standing up there looking down on us, judging, did wrong there. That's no good. But that's not what he's talking about. He's not saying the great cloud of witnesses are there as examples for us. They're the ones. We're witnessing them and what they did in their lives and what they have done in the past. And you know what? They're examples to us. They are role models for us. Because if you go through all of the saints of the church and you look at what they did, you know what? You could do those things too. Any of them. Because you have everything that Jesus has. You've been given everything. You're holy. The cloud of witnesses should inspire us. Those things weren't holy in themselves either. They didn't work at it. They had their eyes fixed on Jesus. It's Jesus who makes us holy, right? See, we have been set apart. We have been made holy to the Lord. Our part is to run from evil, to turn our foot from evil, as Proverbs says, to stop sinning. Our part is to walk the straight path, to worship God alone and with others, to continue on the holy life that he gave us. Did you hear that? He gave us. So you see, an image of a narrow door like that makes it seem hard to enter, doesn't it? Our house has, you know, it's a really old house, you know, little cabin, and has some narrow doors, you know. Sometimes I have to turn sideways to get through one. Like Daniel, I know who's on there, you know, he has to duck his head in certain places in our house. But this is not a narrow door that we're talking about that's difficult to enter. The reason it's narrow is because there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. Anything else carries too much stuff with it, you know? You know, pick up all this stuff. I got to take this with me, too. Oh, I can't get through the narrow door. Well, you better lay down the stuff, then. All that stuff is not holy. But if you're in Christ, if you're in Jesus, you just fall through the narrow door. Fix your eyes on Jesus and you will just free fall effortlessly through that door, which no longer is narrow, but is wide open. And inside is rest and peace. Well, you all know that. You've fallen through the narrow door. You found rest and peace. And I don't have any basis in this, but I could almost imagine that once you fall through that first door, there are more doors. They seem narrow. But as you walk more with the Lord and you go deeper into him, those open to you and you fall through into the next level with Jesus, into a deeper place with him. Deeper and deeper into the heart of his love. That's where it goes. That's where each of them go. We're the ones who put up those doors, you know. Not him. But we can take them down because he's given us everything we need to take them down. So answering that very first question, why is the door narrow? Well, from our standpoint, I don't know. It doesn't look narrow to me, does it? Why is it difficult to enter? Now, people don't want to give up the ways of the world. That's why. Why is there only one way to God? Because if there are more ways, then why would Jesus have died for us on a cross and shed his blood? So I encourage you, because you have all of the equipment that you need to find that next door, that one that looks kind of narrow to you, fall through it. Fall through it. You can do it. Amen.